What a pleasure and a thrill to be with you today, my dear friends. And a salute to the leadership and the young people of a high school that we love so dearly. But also a shout out to all of you who are parents who have young people, children and young adults in the public school system as well, for you are a big part of our future too. My dear friends, there's a new TV show on, just started broadcasting 2 weeks ago, and I wonder if there are any of you martial arts fans that realize that Kung Fu is being broadcast again, is on the air. Have any of you seen the new Kung Fu? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, one or two of you, not too many. It's only just been out a couple of weeks, and you know, with the splintering of television broadcasting, it's really hard for anybody to get market share anymore because there are just so many ways to get content out. Not only the over-the-air broadcasts and cable and satellite, and now there's streaming and all these extra devices you can get. There's just no limit. So TV just is not going to have dominant shows anymore the way it used to in the old days. But this new Kung Fu is really a new old Kung Fu. And 50 years ago, believe it or not, the original Kung Fu TV show came out based on Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee kind of made martial arts really cool. And in the 70s, about when MASH was a hot TV show, 1972, Kung Fu came out, starring David Carradine. He got kind of yelled at for being a Caucasian, acting like he was half Chinese. And yet, he so dominated the tryouts for the part that he won it over all kinds of other people, including Bruce Lee himself. And the funny thing is, he didn't know a thing about martial arts, but he learned. And they had a great 3-year run. In fact, in 1973, in the middle of that 3-year run, they were the dominant show in television. 28 million people a week could not wait to watch Kung Fu. And it's really a very dear show. I mean, I like it. I like it quite a bit. I liked it back then. Most of you don't have any memories of the 70s, possibly because you didn't exist in the 70s. But some of us geezers did. And I always liked that show and enjoy watching pieces, you know, chunks of it. You can go on YouTube and pull it up. And they're really very dear. And, you know, it's an enduring plot device that you have somebody who's kind of gentle and is getting bullied and picked on mercilessly. But the thing is, people would make a big mistake when they picked on Kwai Chang Kane, I think that was his Chinese name, because he was a Shaolin priest who was extremely proficient at martial arts. So he'd wear these kind of raggedy clothes, and they would make fun of him as the Chinaman. And he would get picked on and pushed around until somebody went too far and really came after him. And he would just do a little and completely like break their fingers or flip them over or throw them into the water or something. And it, you know, anybody who's ever been bullied or picked on just has these fantasies of, yes, finally the mean guys are getting their just desserts. And another, that's one of the features of the show. They're, like Kane was always very meek and mild. He's always very compliant. And another feature of it is the flashbacks. It would go back to when he, as a sort of a mixed race, he was a sort of a multiracial guy, part American, part Chinese. He had lost his parents, and so as a boy already had sought refuge in a Shaolin monastery in Hunan, China. And there would be flashbacks to his teachers, his masters, Master Po especially, who was blind, had a big impact on him. And there'd be these flashbacks when he would think, as he's confronted with some stressful situation, there'd be a flashback to what he was being taught. And these older monks had a very endearing name for the young Kwai Chang Kane. They would call him, remember the name they would use to call him? Grasshopper. You have seen the reruns. It's all coming back. You do know it. Grasshopper. And that was not meant as a put-down. They wasn't making fun of him or shaming him or any way. It was an endearing little nickname to someone who was still a learner, a Paduan, who was not yet a master. Remember who you are, Grasshopper. And those elder masters like Master Po taught him how to see, I mean really perceive what was going on, how to hear and really listen and pay attention, how to have self-control. These were the great lessons that he would learn. And these flashbacks helped him deal with the crisis that was right in front of him. And I want to have a little flashback with you today. I'd like to invite you to invite Master John into your life and to sit at his feet. If you have a Bible near you or you're into your mobile digital device, I'd invite you to pull out 1 John chapter 2. You might not like 1 John when you first read it. You might not even like it after your fifth reading of it. And I think I know why. Because I had the same struggles with it too. There are no stories in it. It's all philosophy. There are almost no examples. It's just teaching. And it's almost all in abstractions on a very high level. There are almost no references to the Old Testament, unlike most of the other New Testament books, which point and anchor backwards into the OT. First John does not. There's one brief reference to Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, but that's it. He assumes you know the story of Israel, the people of Israel. He assumes you know the life of Christ and his significant, amazing sacrifice on behalf of the world. And so he simply is teaching you how to think and act upon the basis of what you know. He also, on the surface of it, appears to belittle you a little bit, because not once, but 8 different times in 1 John, he calls you children. Do you like that? Do you like being called a child? Of course you don't. I don't even need you to answer me, because I know the answer already. No, you don't. Would you like it if I called you a child? You wouldn't like me anymore. You not only would not like it, you wouldn't like me anymore. You would think, you're insulting me. Why are you belittling me, calling me a child? Why are you patronizing me, Mr. Big Shot in the robe? You get to talk and I have to listen. Do you think you're better than me? Smarter than me? Worth more than me? Don't call me child. So when John 8 times in these 5 little chapters says children, you might bristle at that a little bit, but I'm saying, whoa, back off a little. Do you know who has the right to call someone my child? Somebody who's really old. See, we don't like being called child by somebody the same age as us, or even a middle-aged person, or even a retired person. But if you're like geezer level old, you can say my child, and it's charming and sweet, isn't it? I don't mind if like my great-grandfather or great-grandmother would call me my child. I don't mind that a bit. John is almost certainly pretty old by now, and when he says children, he's saying it because he knows he's almost ready to slide off into the grave, and he wants to leave a legacy that will matter. He has seen an awful lot of stuff in his life, and he wants to share, distilled into words, the most important principles he can think of to help you cope with the stresses and challenges you're going to go through, just like Kwai Cheng Kane is going to have to go through stresses and challenges as an adult. And remember who you are. In the middle of chapter 2, if you thought 1 John is a little odd, no Old Testament references, no examples, no stories, all abstractions of philosophy and principles. It's also very simple language, but with extremely deep meanings. John's words are all very short, even in Greek, not only in English, but in Greek, tiny little short words, no big words, but deep thoughts. What does it mean, God is light? Whoa. You could spend an hour talking with another Christian, like, okay, now in what way is God light? And what does that have to do with me? Like, it's very, very deep thing. And like the book of Proverbs, as I've often told you before, you should not read this fast. If you read 1 John fast, you won't get anything out of it, and you won't enjoy it, and you'll never go back to it because it doesn't do anything for you. Slow down. Slow down. Read it slowly. Savor it. Chew on it. Think about it. Roll it around in your head and on your tongue. And I want you to pretend that Master John is also your grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, and you're sitting on his porch, and you know that he's lived an awful long time, and he's learned a lot, and he's going to share some of that wisdom with you. Okay, so you're sitting next to this experienced, very mature Christian, slowly rocking. He doesn't say these things real fast. These are nuggets that speed reading them will confuse you. They don't all have they're not linear. These ideas do not go in a straight line like St. Paul. They are circular. They're like weaving, like you're going back and forth with a needle, embroidering and stitching, and you think, well, will you, dang it, John, will you stick to the same subject just for one doggone paragraph? Do you have to keep bouncing around and then coming back to where you started? I feel like we're driving in circles. Well, you kind of are, but that's his intent. Because the totality, then, when he's done and you back away, you see this masterpiece in front of you that's all been stitched together, but in a circular kind of way, like going like this rather than like this. It's not really a destination. It's a finished weaving. Now, if that wasn't hard enough, right in the middle of chapter 2 is a poem. And you think, what on earth compelled you? And as you're writing this letter, possibly for the people you served in your area of supervision in Ephesus, what's this poem doing here? It's a little poem in 6 stanzas that's very repetitive, and you want to say, you said that already. Old people repeat themselves because they're not completely sure you caught it the first time. So don't argue with him that he said that already. Just say, okay, John, got it. The fact that you said it twice means you're hammering on that point. And he's talking to people. He calls you twice children. He calls you fathers. Some of you are fathers literally. Some of you are fathers in the sense of leaders. Some of you are young men literally. You are testosterone crazed, as I was once, and maybe will be again in heaven. I write to you young men, but also some of you are theoretical young men. You are young and strong, even if you are female. You count under that capability. Now, look at this little thing. He wants you to remember who you are in Christ. You have a new identity. Now, when you are being stressed, like Kwai Cheng Kane being picked on, when you are under stress because of your faith and you are facing the enemies against you, remember who you are. We not only have to face the devil who's after us, not only all the secular forces of unbelief in all the world, whether governmental or military or social, there's a lot of pressure on believers to bully them, shame them, get them to shut up and disappear from people who despise faith-based people and religions. Not only do we have to drag around the sinner within our own hearts, we have a constant, not only external war, but there's a civil war going on. There's evil inside of you that is trying to mess with you constantly, every day. But on top of all of that, a place that you'd think would supposedly be a safe place, like the church is going to become rotten and corrupt too. And perhaps you've seen some traces of it if you've lived long enough. John was writing at a time when there was someone who had started drifting away from the church. His name was Cerinthus, who one by one started cutting and snipping all the roots of Christianity. Just like the temptation to Mother Eve to be free, Cerinthus said, you don't have to submit to the authority of God's word. The apostles do not command your obedience and allegiance. There was no such thing as creation. God did not create the world. And your body is mortal and irrelevant and will go on the ground, so you can live any way you want. All that matters is your mind. If your mind has the right thoughts in it, you can live any way you want. Well, can you imagine what happened to people when there were no brakes on their behaviors anymore? People without brakes on their behavior become violent, cruel, and commit adultery. Those are like, they just go for it. And that bloomed into a nasty, toxic virus on the Christian church for centuries. It got its nickname from the idea that the cult leaders of these cults pitched the idea that we have secret knowledge that you don't have, so you need to be involved with us because we got way better stuff than just the boring old Bible. And the Greek word for knowledge, the secret knowledge, is gnosis. So unfortunately, this movement got stuck with a very difficult name for you to remember and understand. It's called Gnosticism. But it was nasty, and in fact, it has overtones today, for the same things are going on today to get you to lose confidence in the authority and truth of the Bible, to lose confidence in the church and the tradition and message of the apostles, to have no breaks on your behavior. The cults today and want you to think that we have secret knowledge that the Bible doesn't share with you, and you have to be part of our group to be in on that, and to basically shame you for being so old-fashioned and boring as to be a Bible believer. And this is particular, as I was watching this this whole gang of teenagers creating all that beautiful music, my heart was just a little tense for them, knowing pretty soon you're going to walk out of your Christian school, and now it's going to be fair game as people take aim at your faith and try to bully you into silence or shame you for having ideas based on the Bible. They're in for it, and they are going to be tormented and tested to see whether their faith is going to hold up. And I hope every one of them makes it, but I fear that some of them may fail. Perhaps you know people in your own family who, after they left their Christian environment, got sucked into an unchristian environment and never came back. This is the great heartache of all older Christians who've managed to survive themselves. We care so deeply about the next gen and want them to survive. Here is a great strategy to survive. Sit down like good grasshoppers with Master John and let him tell you, remember who you are. Look at these beautiful little reminders. Now, they're simple, but they're so powerful. First, and they're all in the past. Things that Satan himself cannot change. Satan himself cannot change 2010 when the Packers won the Super Bowl. That is locked in, and Satan himself cannot take away that Lombardi trophy from the Green Bay Packers. We cling to it and remember it so passionately and lovingly. Satan himself cannot undo the blood atonement of Christ. I write to you, dear children, don't be mad that he calls you a child. He's old. Let him call you my child. He says it not to belittle you, but because he loves you. You're like his kids. Why? Because your sins have been forgiven on account of the name of Jesus Christ. I write to you, fathers, with all the stresses of all of you who lead in some way, because you've known him who's from the beginning. He is our creator. Don't allow your faith in creation to be shamed by those who mock the idea of intelligent design. I write to you, young men. We kind of fear our young men and tremble for them. It seems like I have been a young man at one time. I remember, it's been a while, but I can remember pretty vividly how your brain as a young male gets addled by testosterone. We're too strong. Our body has become the body of a man, but our brain to manage it lags behind. And so controlling our aggression is hard. Controlling our sexual appetite is hard. And we fear for our young men because they seem like they're ready to bust loose at any time. And we fear for them. But Master John says, young men, you have overcome the evil one. What? Our victory with Christ is a done deal, just like the Packers Super Bowl. Through your faith and baptism in Christ, we participate in his crucifixion. And like Christ, we can raise our right leg and bring it down on the head of the serpent and crush his skull. We have won. So remember who you are, grasshoppers, and claim that victory It's a done deal. Your strength is not in your performance. It is Christ's performance working through you. Go back to remember who you are in Christ. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Come on, Master John, you're repeating yourself. Yes, I am, Grasshopper. I want you to remember this. You've known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. It's timeless. Your faith in Christ has connected you to a drama that began on the beginning of day one of creation. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. How? Because the Word of God lives in you. When you hear it or read it or sing it or remember it, when the Word of God comes to your mind, it is its strength and clarity and truth become yours. Feed on that and remember who you are, grasshoppers. The Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Doesn't that sound like a bit of an overstatement? You think, man, have overcome. I wish I had overcome. The fact is, you have. You already have the ultimate Lombardi trophy. Your ticket for heaven's already been punched, and your room has been reserved for you. It is waiting for you. You already have died, suffered, died, been buried, and risen with Christ. You are immortal. You are loved. You are favored, and you are forgiven. Remember who you are. Pray for the young ones coming up, my dear friends. Whether your children, grandchildren, nieces, or nephews go to a public institution or have the blessing of going to a Christian school, pray for them anyway and do whatever you can to help mentor them along, just like Master Po mentored Kwai Cheng Kane, his grasshopper, so that they will remember your words, example, and benefit from your investments. Remember who you are. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.